Now, film, definitely an addict. The only way to keep from returning to active drug addiction is not to take the first one off. I am an addict, and I know I have a disease of no known cure, and I have to keep coming back. I was asked to share on this this topic when I got here, and I'm just going to talk real briefly. It's what happened when I got here. The intent of coming here was to write up with a sponsor and another recovering addict who was speaking here, and I said, "Oh, that'd be so cool. Just go for the ride. I'll come to support you." Like, whatever. And then the next thing I know, my sponsee was having car difficulty, and he says, "Can you drive up and bring this other person up here to the retreat?" I said, it's no big deal. You know, I was planning on coming to support you. What difference does it make?" As long as we get here. So this and that and the other thing, and the next thing I know, another sponsee wasn't coming, and then like here we all are, you know, and it's just one of them days I just sort of like out of the way and just letting unfold and just let happen whatever happens. So you know, on the way here, I come past a few old stomping grounds here not too far down the road. And as we pass by these places, I was telling the other recovering addicts in the car, "Oh, I used to use over this place. I used to go over this place." And later on the road, "I used to use over this place." Those was all my hangouts and this and that on the way here. I really didn't entertain the thought, but once again, the thoughts was still there. My head still turned to look there. You know, it wasn't where I was going to go by and not look. I looked, and I remember. So that's why I had to say, you know, I have a disease of no-no cure. And just one away isn't all that much for me. So anyway, I was asked to speak here, and chairperson or whatever, coordinator of the speaking asked me, could I share on this topic? I think I could do anything with it. And immediately I thought, I says, yeah, you know, recovery and relapse, that's a chapter in our basic text, you know. And the way he said that, I was under the assumption that maybe something happened to me. Do I have any, am I qualified for it or whatever? And then I thought of something, and then I was really overtaken by a conference my area put on, and it was on the 10 chapters of the basic text, and one of the chapters is chapter 7 in our basic text of recovery and relapse. And there was somebody in our fellowship, and I'm not coming up their neck, and I'm not speaking badly, but I was sort of appalled that when this person, these people were asked to speak on their chapter, one of the things they said is they never relapsed. They don't got nothing to say. And what it told me immediately is, okay, you got a whole bunch of years here in our fellowship. You probably haven't read anything. You know, that. You know, like, in other words, you got to relapse for this literature to be for you, or this got to happen to you, or it's just for people who relapse. You know, it's a program of abstinence. It's a program of recovery. It's a program that counteracting a disease that we have of no cure. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out there because I was just appalled with no, I can't talk about this because this never happened to me. Well, maybe you don't want it to happen to you. You know, it don't have to. The chapter ain't set up because it has to happen to you. It don't have to happen to you. And then a relapse, it isn't always about just picking up the drug. And it talks about that in the chapter. It may be the things leading up into you picking up the drug, so you might not have to pick up the drug. You know, that chapter is just so heavy duty. And, you know, one of the members was saying, you know, just like our steps are in order, our traditions are in order, our concepts are in order for a reason. What I know about our 10 chapters are in order for a reason, too. They are definitely numbered, and they're in order for a reason. Staying clean always has to come first in step one. It talks about in that chapter, too, that the staying in our seventh chapter, which is recovering relapse, that staying clean always has to come first. I'm one of the members in this fellowship with how our things are like numbered and written and designed and things like that. I leave it the way it is. I don't try to like alter or change or put my 2 cents in or spin or twist to it. The way it's numbered, the way it's written, what it says, it's a done deal. Disease of addiction, no known cure. You know, the literature talks about us having something that is chronic, progressive, and fatal. Incurable. It's something that we're always going to have. But in that chapter, it does say that the people that keep recovery as a high priority, with the staying clean, are always having to come first. And the members that do our program, you know, they're the members that probably won't. You know, there's nothing that's guaranteed that we won't. And all through that chapter, it even says that. But it does say the members that are working a program of Narcotics Anonymous. And the program foretells a whole lot of things with our steps, traditions, and concepts, our meetings, and definitely our literature. And all through that chapter, talking about our literature. You know, I was one of those members, too, that had a lot of misinformation because one of my home groups that I advised along for years, it only did like steps one and two, and that's all it did. It was like considered a beginner's meeting and the information that was in the meeting. And I was real active in that home group, real involved in the home group, and you'd hear things in the home group that steps one and two is a strong foundation, and steps one, two, and three is a strong foundation, and all this stuff, and it's just like a waltz, one, two, three, one, you know, and I sort of, you know, going to the meeting, you know, with the literature and over the repetition in it, I was picking up information. I was staying abstinent. Abstinence, and there's a big difference between abstinence and having recovery. It's not the same. It's not the same. And the literature says that people that do attend our meetings regularly, stay clean. I got to put credit where credit's due. I'm not going to change our literature, change the design. People that attend our meetings regularly stay clean. For the most part, a little bit of step work, attending meetings, and I was per se, staying clean or abstinent. I'm gonna call it abstinent because I wasn't really down to the nitty gritty of stuff, but I was still waltzing along like everybody said, just waltzing along. Having a disease that's progressive, the waltzing along, not getting the nitty gritty, you know, not getting in touch with spirit and the deep down things. You know, something happened to me in my early recovery, and just me waltzing on step one, two, and three, thinking I'm on a strong foundation, finding out later on that guess what? You're standing on quicksand. Your whole life is on quicksand. You ain't nowhere. But anyway, something happened that sort of like traumatized me. And it put me into something that was like unbelievable with a little bit of recovery or whatever I thought I had. And I was back into a corner that I was fortunate enough to come out clean. But what I knew, the little bit of information I had, thank God for sponsorship, I was one of these members in this fellowship, procrastinating on a four-step. I remember my sponsor telling me, Phil, you got to do this step. You know, this is going to happen to you. You know, that, you know, oh, what do you mean? You know, I'm going to meetings. What do you mean? I'm clean. Ain't that enough? What do you mean? I'm doing area service. You know, I'm involved. Like, well, you know, what do you know? Ain't that enough? You know, just ain't that enough? But what happened was something hit me, and it put me in a tailspin that I was fortunate enough to come out without using. I knew I was in trouble. You know, I was clean for, you know, a few years, no, almost a few years or whatever. But I knew I had to do more than just waltz around in here. It was more than just waltzing around in here. You know, recovery and relapse, you know, talks about us going into emotional relapse. You know, it can be physical, emotional, it can be spiritual, too. And that's going backwards. You know, where are you now? You know, where is your spirit? Where are you now in all of this? See, this actually happened to me. So anyway, I was forced to move on in step work. And then that's one of the best things that happened. And what I soon found out with the steps, the power of the steps, the solution of the steps, the growing of the 12 steps. And I tell them, I try to tell the whole world, you know, this is not a 3-step program. It's a 12-step program. Now, Carcinomas is a 12-step program. It has 12 steps in it. But the literature talks about, too, with the relapse thing, you know, that somewhere along the line that the member now, recovery has ceased. See, recovery now has, like, stopped. Now, I got a disease that's chronic, progressive, fatal, no known cure. Progressive is continually moving on in me. You know, it don't care how many years I got clean, how many steps I done work, how many conditions I done work, how many sponsors I got, how many conventions I've been to, what I got, what I don't got, what color I am, what I'm driving with, I'm walking. It don't care nothing about nothing that still wants me dead anyway that's still moving on in me. What would make me think that I don't got to do nothing to combat it? Somehow, some way, some shape or form. You know, I've seen it. You know, a lot of members have proven this disease to me. You know, I know it's a disease of no known cure. I know it's not going anywhere. And what I have learned about our program, It should be a ongoing thing in us. So if Phil stops doing it, you know, whatever. If I stop doing it and I cease within the process, I'm not going backwards. You know, the literature clearly says even when we're standing still, so I'm going to do nothing. I'll just do the bare minimum, or as little as possible. I'll just stand there, and you're going backwards. If it's onward and forward in us anyway, and I ain't doing anything to combat it, you know, it's probably going to happen to me. You know, even with steps, you know, even with a God, my understanding too, you know, I still got to do the work. it talks about early in that chapter that our members that somehow seem to practice deceit, you know, false hope. Deceit is false hope for somebody. Meaning when we don't want to be honest, we want to be dishonest. We don't want to be open-minded. We want to be closed-minded. We don't want to be willing. We'll be unwilling. It talks about those members seem to fit that pattern of the relapse thing. You know, the literature does say with those three spiritual principles that we're well on our way. You know, it doesn't say you arrived or, you know, but at least you got a chance to get somewhere with them three. You know, and probably good because it does say, well, you're now well on your way with them three components. And it say no two out of threes, bad or anything like that. With those three components, you're now well on your way to do something. And it talks about them being indispensable. Well, I'm going to let you folks in on a big, 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 big secret of Narcotics Anonymous. All of our spiritual principles are indispensable. You know, and through our 12 steps, our 12 traditions, our 12 concepts, put into action and whatever, you know, the individual, the everything can work. It can grow. We can all get somewhere with them. And you can't hurt or stop them. If they're putting the action, them things are going to work. They're going to go. I do believe this. And I know that for me. And I can only say that for me. I can't say that for the rest of you folks. You know, I had the luxury of going to the conference that the area put on in Narcotics Anonymous, and it was a basic text conference that featured the 10 chapters of that basic text, and it was just so awesome. And one of the chapters was recovery and relapse. You know, I don't know what more I can say. You know, it's what I know is relapse is not a requirement for our membership. You know, the desire is our requirement in Narcotics Anonymous, and it's desire to not use really is a requirement. Relapse is not a requirement for Narcotics Anonymous, but it does happen. To our members as far as picking up the drug. You know, I hear them, different members say they relapse from picking up booty and this and that and the other things too, you know, because, you know, it talks about it manifesting in other areas of our lives and the other behaviors and things that we do as a fellowship. But relapse is still sliding back. Yes, I have relapsed physically, spiritually, emotionally. I've been all kinds of spaces and places in Narcotics Anonymous. My early on, I just used again. I'm just going to say I just use it again because the fact of me coming in here, would I come in here and not having any knowledge of this program and doing what I was doing, I was just using it again. I can't even classify that as a relapse of picking up the drug. I just used it again. I didn't have no recovery, so I just used it again. But it's talking about as working a 12-step program and using again. I don't ever want to grow past any of the literature in Narcotics Anonymous and like think I know it all, think I can't do it all. What I know about recovery, and it talks about this in our traditions, is our recovery is supposed to be a reoccurring thing in us. You know, I'm okay of our literature being read over and over and over to us. I'm okay with doing stuff with my sponsor, whoever. Tradition study meetings, step study meetings, concept study meetings, any kind of literature, IP meetings, any kind of anything you want to sit down and read. I'm cool with it. Because it even talks about in that chapter, our literature just may be that hope shot of that over and over and over again in us. You know, I always look at it as the medicine, you know, because it talks about in the steps of internalizing the principles of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and if it's internal, I got to have this stuff in me. And if I'm doing it over and over and it's in me, it should be coming out of me. You know, it says practice these principles in all our affairs. I've been saying that lately for some reason or other, you know, the last couple of months. I don't know as to what's going on. I don't know what my higher power's been preparing me for. And you know, it's not a bad thing to say. And you know what? It ain't a bad thing to do either. According to what the literature says, I mean, you can't dispute it and say, oh, you shouldn't do it because it says to do it. And I see, here's one. I was just talking about this, bless one of my poor sponsees, he's been going through what he's been going through, but once again, you know, when we don't want to do the principles of this program, you know, we're going to be doing something else. I always say, if I'm trying to get with this, I'm trying to get with that. If I ain't doing this, I'm doing that. And Phil needs to do recovery. I did a whole lot of dope. I need a whole lot of recovery. That's all I got.
All right.
I'd like to introduce the next speaker. Her name is Quintella P., and she's from the Surrender to Recovery Group from Narcotics Anonymous in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Quintella. I'm an addict. Okay, I'm so glad I'm able to get up and stand up here so I can just keep shaking the bugs off of me. For some reason, it feels like I've got a phobia because I'm up here in the woods, but there's bugs down in Pittsburgh where we live, and they don't really bother me all like that. I don't know if it's because we're under this hut or I'm nervous or, you know, what I might have, but, you know, my clean date is 5/6/08, and, you know, I say that because not because everybody else said it, but I say it because I hear that if I say that, it reminds me from where I come from, and then it makes me grateful for where I'm at. You know, so I said I was going to start following some of those positive suggestions, or I see that the predecessors may have, because I know if it's working for them, it'll definitely work for me. You know, I also need to say that, you know, I'm going to be as honest as I can up here, but you know, I have only 3.5 years. I'm like 3.5 years old, and a lot of times I can't be very honest, open-mindedness, or willing. You know, I really fight against the grain a lot of the times because, like Phil said, I've been out there so many years. To come in here for 3 years and think it's all going to be fixed, a lot of times I beat myself up and I make things bigger than what they are. You know, I analyze everything, and I'm always in my head, but I've been coming around for a little over 20-something years. I'll be 39 next month. So I've been coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous since I was about 17 or 18 years old. I wouldn't say I never relapsed either. I just always kept using. I would get a few months clean, maybe 18 months clean, but I wasn't doing any work. And, I had a whole bunch of behaviors that I couldn't identify with, and I didn't really know the reasons why I kept getting high at that time. It wasn't really processing like it do today. This is the most pain time I've ever had, and I'm really working this program to the best of my ability this time. I was stuck on a lot of days when I was clean, not wondering why I was moving, because I wasn't really doing no work. I came up in here, what you call a habitual liar. I lied about everything. I blew things up. I stretched them out. I souped them up just to make myself sound good. I had a whole bunch of masks, and I felt like I would get somebody's attention if I told a great big story, about, where I come from or what I've done. It could be anything, I still was stealing a whole lot. I was kleptomaniac. I mean, you couldn't sit your lighter down. You couldn't sit a sugar or short glasses, lip gloss, anything. I just had to steal it, and people knew that when I came in because they know me. Some of the people in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous been here for years. Up until 3 years ago, they would hold their purse. They'd be like, if I come in the store with you, please don't steal nothing. I'm going to act like I ain't with you. And, different stuff like that. And, I heard in the book and from people sharing, saying, change you must or die you will. You have to change, your old way of living. It's not really what I'm trying to say, but I knew those was a lot of the reasons why I kept getting high, because I was a big liar. I still lie today, but everything came out of my mouth was a lie. I stole so much. I still was in the street tricking. I was still manipulating and trying to just get by with just being clean. I don't have to work the steps. I already know them. I've been here over 20 years. I know the readings off by heart. And I would just like justify and rationalize. That's the stuff that I really didn't really pick up or didn't pay no attention to. Or I was going to come in the rooms and let y'all know that I could get high successfully. I'm going to show y'all. So I can tell y'all, y'all can come on back out here with me. So the relapse, recovery and relapse, my starts right here where I'm at. My recovery must come first. Like, I've never really dealt with my feelings. I always ran from them. Like most of us, identified with my feelings of angry all the time. I was very angry at the things that I was doing, the things that people was doing. They done took my kids, how dare they? They done, I was just always pointing the finger and never really looking at my point. And now that I am working the steps, it's like this thing, like the emotions and the feelings will sometimes put me in a relapse mode. Because I'm not used to dealing with my emotions or my feelings, and I just really want to run and to stay in the position that recovery has gotten me to. It's a lot of days that I cry, or, I'm feeling all this stuff. I don't know where it's coming from, and I'm actually fanning the bugs away. But I feel all this stuff, and I really don't know what to do with it. And I know today that drugs ain't going to help the situation. It makes it much bigger, I see that when you go back out, it's very hard to come back. I am one of those people, that I go to any length to get high. At the end of my road, which I had many roads, but at the end of this road, I would have sex or trick for a few dollars, a few cents, just to get me a beer. And I would do that over and over again, and it really became a habit. And like I said, when I would came into the room, I would still do that. I was still doing that. It wasn't until I gave myself a break, told myself some affirmations like I'm better than that. I have to have some dignity about myself. I can't be throwing myself on people. I can't be giving me away. Like, I have a lot of respect for myself today, and there's a lot of things that I'm just not doing. You know what I'm saying? And that's just only because of working the steps. I'm currently on my fifth step, and I believe all the steps that I be on, I be going through those same things. It really, you know, I'm able to play the whole tape about whatever's going on in my life, not just about the drug, even though it's about the drug, but I have to apply the step to the things I go through, you know, today. I have four children. I have only one living with me, and I got her back about 4 years ago, and and you're talking about working a program. I always got to be on the first step with this child, because when she came back, it was still new to me. I ain't never raised no kids, none of my kids, and she came back with a lot of, you know, issues, you know, and I feel like if she was mad at me or they mad at me, I'm mad at you too, because I want to, you know, pout and, you know what I'm saying, and it's a revelation that comes in, plus talking to people and I get suggestions and stuff, is that my kids have a reason to be angry. You know what I'm saying? They have issues just like I did when I was coming up. My mother used drugs all my life. I actually smoked crack with my mother 15 years. Age of 18, well into my 30s, a little bit, you know, after my 30s, and, you know, I had issues with my mom, too, so, you know, the program kicks in with the stuff that I was doing, that I got to be able to be responsible for this child. I can't be doing all that stuff and be trying to send her on that same path, because I remember telling my mother when she told me I shouldn't do that, I said, how you going to tell me not to do it and you're doing it? And I was only like 12, 13 years old. I was ignorant as hell, I was mean as hell, I was smart as hell, you can't tell me nothing, I'm grown, but when I got grown, I really wanted to be a kid again, because the older you get, the more responsibility, and, you know, the consequences get a little bit tougher, a lot tougher, but anyway, and just, you know, God keeps me self-centered, but she actually helps me with my recovery, because, you know, I don't know. I just know that being responsible for this child right here, I'm just going to do the best that I can with doing that for her. She sees the walk I'm doing, and she, you know, has had some run-ins with the marijuana. And I try to tell her that there's a line you cross, and you never know that line when you cross it, and it don't be fun anymore. It becomes something that you got to have. Now there go the stealing and whatever you got to do, you know, to get more. And I said, I will not be sleeping with one eye open thinking you're going to steal my money, because then we're going to have to fight. But the program do kick in. I can't be beating all up. And, you know, it's just a process, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, these kids, well, my kids learn from where they've been, what I'm doing, and I got to set that example. You know, that's my job. To do the next right thing, even though I really don't always do the next right thing. Recovery for me today is living the program, helping the newcomer out, getting into service work really does work for me. It helps me stay clean. It helps me to stick to a commitment, say I'm going to do some, do it even if I don't want to do it, even if I want to change my mind. I'm very independent, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's really sometimes hard, even though it may not seem that way, it's hard for me to ask for help, because I'm so used to having my own thing. When I really don't have it, I want to let you know that I still got it, when I really don't. It's really hard for me to reach out for help, you know, when I'm in need for something, you know, but I'm going to get a little better with that, because closed mouth don't get fed, you know what I'm saying? We all, you know, have our days when we just don't, you know what I'm saying, have anything. And the situation I'm going through right now is a relationship. And this relationship been bogging me down for the last 8 months. You know, I was in a relationship for like 7 years, the longest relationship I've ever been in. I guess the first 4 years, they were in the relationship and I wasn't, because like I told you, I was doing all this stuff. I wanted your money, their money, and I'm going to keep my money. And I don't want to share none of my stuff, but you got to share all your stuff with me. And when I realized what love really was after I stopped doing all those things to fill all those voids, and I really learned what love was, it was too late. We were just holding on, you know, just because, you know, they want to be together or just used to being around each other. But it just has been the one of the toughest things I had to deal with since I've been in recovery. You know, this relationship, it's really big. It's made, had me in a relapse mode. I'm accepting it 1 minute. I give my will to God. Then I take it back when some thoughts come because my mind is always going. I mean, it never rests. You know, I'm always up in my head and I'm wondering what did I do or what happened and stuff. But you know what? God probably set that stage because he needed me to get closer to him. I don't have my own identity when I'm in a relationship. I ain't willing to give everything. You know what I'm saying? I learned some things in this 8 months that I'm very selfish. I'm greedy. I'm stingy. And I don't want to share my shit. You know, I don't. You know, and I had to come to the reality, like, if I can't give my all, nobody deserves half a person. They need a whole person. So it helped me get back into my steps, figure out the things that's going on inside of me, from the problem, get to the solution and work on it and move on. And it's, you know, what's that, the fifth step is, remitting my exact, what is it, exact wrong, my wrong problem or something like that. But, that's when I'm, the step that I'm on now, it allows me to look at the things that I've done, why I've done them, be able to not blame everybody for, you know, the things that I feel that I've done, you know, because I'm not a victim. I'm a volunteer. The things that I do go through is for me, not that person or them. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm really grateful for the person that I am becoming. I have a lot of friends that I can reach out to. I have a small we, but I don't know. The steps just really worked for me this time around. You know, Media Makers Make It and all those little slogans, I believe in them because they have worked for other people. They work for me. And I just really just try to walk. Like, I just see other recovering addicts doing it, and I know I can do it. And basically, my recovery this time, I play the tape. I don't want to relapse, like I said. So recovery and relapse is very important. It is in the book. I just suggest to myself that I don't relapse, you know what I'm saying, because my process starts all over again if I come back, you know. And I don't want to keep mumbling, but that's about all I have. Thanks. Thank you. I don't want to sit back down.
I would like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us tonight. Could we have the reading of Just for Today at the microphone, please?
My name's Julie. I'm an addict. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes